this is not where we wanted to be, of course, but it has been it's not a time for alarm, but it's certainly a time for a wake-up call.
New York is still strong in its support, and Kentucky is joining in and a number of regions in the country.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, I'll speak with the mayor of Oneonta, New York, Gary Herzig, about the SUNY Oneonta campus being closed down for 2 weeks to control the spread of COVID-19. Plus, my conversation with New York Congressman Paul Tonko of the 20th District after Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell signed on to the Horse Racing Integrity and Safety Act, which will have ripple effects for the industry in Kentucky, but also New York. First, my conversation with Mayor Gary Herzig.
This is not where we wanted to be, of course, but it has been it's not a time for alarm, but it's certainly a time for a wake-up call. You know, we all read the stories about in other parts of the country how parties will lead to widespread contamination quickly. All of us, young and old, sometimes think, well, that doesn't happen all the time. That may not happen here. Well, we've all learned a lesson that in this time of COVID, parties are dangerous and things spread quickly.
It was so quick after students returned to campus that the school had to be shut down again. How did this happen? I mean, we've, as you say, we've been studying these super spreader events for the last 6 months. How did this happen so quickly?
Well, the first weekend back was a disappointment. We were prepared. Friday night was quiet. Saturday night took us by surprise. Our police were out patrolling in force. They came across a number of house parties, some small and some large. Apparently, the tracing that has been done has indicated that it was those house parties that facilitated the spread.
Now that the campus is shut down for 2 weeks, assuming that the campus reopens with on-campus classes and in-person instruction in a couple weeks, how do you prevent this from happening again?
Well, you know, that is what we need to work on. First of all, let me say that the first steps have been very positive. The chancellor, the governor, the Department of Health commissioner have been on top of this right from the start. In addition to the shutdown, they've sent a team of tracers and investigators here. The college president has now implemented a zero tolerance policy. If you break any ordinances in the city off campus, you go home. And the governor is setting up 3 testing sites here for the public, free rapid testing for the residents. And that'll serve 2 purposes. It will, one, allay any fears that residents have of having contracted the virus, as well as when we get the results, it will tell us as to whether there has been a transmission of the virus into the year-round population as well as the student population.
If you're a person who lives in Oneonta listening to this interview, and you're not a college student, you didn't go to one of these parties over the weekend, what's your message to that person? Should everyone be getting tested right now?
I would encourage anyone who has any concern, thinks that they may have been in contact with somebody, thinks they may have been at a location that puts them at risk, to go ahead and get tested. It is free. It is by appointment. I would encourage people to get tested. It's good information. Hopefully, we'll find out that there is a very, very low positive rate and there has not been significant transmission. But it's important for us to know that.
Listening to your comments in this interview, and there's been some published reporting about your thoughts on SUNY's preparation for the fall semester. How are you getting along with the college president now? Is it fair to say that you thought they were a little bit behind the curve in getting ready for the return of students?
Well, you know, there's going to be plenty of opportunity in the future to analyze what could have or should have been done differently. Right now, we have to be lockstep working together, everyone in the community, college, the college president, myself, in making sure that we move out of this. That means that we're all speaking with one voice. We're all in agreement upon the decisions that have to be made as we go forward. And we need to lay out in unison the steps that we are going to be taking to curtail this and then prevent any future outbreaks. And we have to be very, very clear with the public and specific as to the action steps we will be taking.
There are 64 SUNY campuses, each in its own community, and many of them have already reported certain issues on campus in terms of students not abiding by social distancing. 43 students were suspended from SUNY Plattsburgh. This weekend, the University at Albany has grappled with its own big parties. What's your advice for other municipal leaders who might be looking at Oneonta and saying, boy, we don't want that happening here?
Well, I think that one thing we've learned is all of the college campuses have excellent plans for keeping the students safe on campus. Their interactions are greatly restricted. And honestly, you know, I feel for the students. It's not the way you want to go to college. But the greatest risk takes place off campus. That's where students tend to party, get together, participate in social activities. So it's very important that the college campuses, the local communities are working hand in hand, whether it's through education, communication, or enforcement, in monitoring off-campus activities equally to what goes on campus.
On another subject, what is the state of the city's finances today, given the pandemic?
You know, we are very fortunate here. The city of Oneonta is going to come out of this bruised, but standing, stronger than most. We went into this with healthy reserves. That is because we are actually riding on the shoulders of people who came before us who were very conservative and recognized that rainy days do come and left us with very healthy reserves. So we have not had to lay off any of our employees, which I'm proud to say. We are moving forward with our projects, whether they're infrastructure or economic development. So we've had people have come together in the city of Oneonta, the business community, the Chamber of Commerce. Everybody has been great with a positive, we're in this together attitude. And we've had great innovation. We've closed our Main Street to traffic every Saturday, day and night this summer to allow the restaurants to increase their footprint out into the street. People have really enjoyed that. So, you know, I am proud of the people of this city, the business community, the not-for-profit community. They have all come together to help us weather this storm.
All right, now let's hear my conversation with New York Congressman Paul Tonko about the Horse Racing Integrity and Safety Act, which got the backing of Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell on Monday.
I'm very excited about this progress because for about 6 years now, in a bipartisan way in the House, I've been working with my colleague and friend Andy Barr, a Republican from Kentucky, who obviously has a similar interest in the industry. We have come forth with legislation that really puts the focus on the equine athlete, making certain that that athlete is protected. And the legislation for integrity in the sport had been moving through the House. We've had hearings that suggested beyond the protection of the equine athlete and the jockeys, of course, we need to look at perhaps the safety of the track. And so this legislation combines that effort, and we now have partnership with the Senate, and I'm told it's going to be bipartisan. So that means that we can move forward and perhaps strike success before the end of the year for the integrity of the sport and for the safety of the equine athlete. The horse is the very important factor in this whole exercise, and the behavior surrounding that horse can't be controlled by the horse, so we want to make certain that the guardrails and the safety net, so to speak, are there. And as we move forward, I'm introducing an amendment to incorporate all of the slight changes in the legislation, and again, in the hope that we can get something done before year's end.
Do you know any more details about those changes to racetracks themselves in terms of, I imagine this has to do with the breakdowns that we've been seeing around the country, especially in California racing, but at all these other tracks as well?
Right. There will be standards established for the track itself and the maintenance, making certain that, again, the operating grounds are as built to a certain standard so that accidents and injuries can be avoided, as will be the development of the standards that accompany the medication policy as it relates to horses. So this will be a bit of self-governance by the industry, which I think is important with the implementation of all of this by USADA, the United States Anti-Doping Association, that has done such a strong job in addressing the needs of professional athletes and our Olympians. So this brings into play, I think, a very strong stewardship of rules and regs that will accompany a sport that, again, will aim to keep the equine athletes in the front and center of all the operations.
You've been talking about this bill for quite a long time. What does it do to establish federal oversight specifically over an industry that has so many different state-sanctioned rules and operating procedures? I mean, you were just talking about how that would, you know, be set in place similar to like the Olympics. But how will that work practically?
Well, I think when you have 38 different settings for standards, that patchwork doesn't serve anyone well. And as so many, a majority of these horses will race in various states, in multiple states and regions in our country, or if not in the world. And so I think it's important for us to have a standard here in the U.S. that says, okay, no matter which state you're traveling to for a stakes race, these are the standards. You'll know them. That familiarity will be stronger because of the standardization. And I think the fairness comes into play for the horse. The implementation, again, will be very strict and stringent. And I think, again, we'll build a sense of strength for the fans. I think sporting fans have many more choices these days, so they're very discerning. And our effort here has been to make this sport as clean as a whistle and to protect as best possible the equine athlete. And we accomplish that with this by addressing the integrity of the horse as it relates to medication and track safety.
Along those lines, this announcement today of McConnell's participation in the Senate bill came out of Kentucky. What is the reaction in New York State and specifically with the New York Racing Association?
I think that the support we had, which included New York with our original bill, because we will add the amendments that came in the Senate bill, which, by the way, were advised at a hearing held by the House on our bill. And so they did add the track safety measures. So we will incorporate those measures, and we only stand to gain in support on the legislation. New York is still strong in its support, and Kentucky is joining in and a number of regions in the country. So I think we'll have a bill here that will be acceptable to many forces out there. And I think the industry itself knows that we need to build strength into the equation, if you will.
Well, if Leader McConnell is on the bill in the Senate, then we can guess that he supports passage of the full bill in the Senate. What about the House? You mentioned the possibility of getting this done before the end of the year.
Yes. We've been working with the Energy and Commerce Committee, on which I'm seated. We have been working with the subcommittee that deals with this particular legislation that will report it to the Standing Committee on Energy and Commerce. We're feeling very strong about it. I think it's a matter of really giving it the push now to be placed as a priority. But I think in terms of acceptance of the legislation, I think it's being developed along the way to a very strong outcome. It's just prioritizing, if you will. I think that one thing that we're underscoring here is that what we have learned from the COVID-19 pandemic is that this pandemic has challenged us to come back stronger. We realize now that many sectors of our economy that have been affected by this, and horse racing certainly is one of those. You know, we have horse racing this year, but without fans. And as we're challenged by this pandemic to build a stronger economy, block by block, I believe we build a stronger economy for this region by building a stronger horse racing industry. So a stronger economy comes with a stronger sport of horse racing, and it happens by building into this system integrity so that we have an economic comeback that is stronger, more robust, more just, and more sustainable. And I think that's good for our economy in the region and in the state. It's an industry that has about a $3 billion impact on the state of New York with over 19,000 jobs. And again, offers a sense of destination for our upstate region here in the 20th Congressional District, and certainly offers a great bit of history and heritage with the sport.
All right, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.